Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Donna Thistlethwaite is a career coach, speaker, and entrepreneur. In 2012, she experienced a significant mental health crisis which dramatically altered the trajectory of her life. She has since undergone a transformation to successfully move from darkness and fear to shining her light. Donna is passionate about helping others, whether it's achieving their career goals, knowing that it is possible to change our mindset and outcomes, or sharing strategies that lead to positive well-being. A question from her 7-year-old son recently led to an incredible insight for Donna. If you could do anything, Mum, what would you do? To which she replied, I'm doing it. I wouldn't change a thing. I have a lovely partner, a beautiful son, a wonderful home, and I get to help people every day. Hi, Donna. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne. Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Sounds great.
Excellent. All right. Do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
Okay. Oh my gosh. I'm in a really exciting place, actually. I'm a career coach and I've been doing that for probably this is my fifth year, I think. And I've also recently been doing some speaking on resilience and mental health and I'm totally loving that. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, sounds really interesting. So what have you actually been, like what's your story to get to this point?
Yeah, okay. So I was actually born in Australia, in Brizzy, and I guess there were a few challenges in my childhood, and my parents split up when I was 8 years old, and our mother left the family home, and our father was in the army, and he was a Vietnam vet, and he had a few struggles, I think, that related to that, and my middle sister and I grew up with him for a few years, and he met my stepmother, and I think overall, I would say I had a good childhood, but there certainly were a few sort of little events that went along with that. And after I finished school and everything, I did some travel and my life was pretty good, but I know that I always had these self-doubts that were there. They sort of plagued me throughout my life. And at around sort of mid-20s, I went off and studied and everything and experienced some career success. And that was all good, but those nagging doubts were there a little bit still. And I was always trying to prove myself, basically. In 2012, I had a 2-year-old and I came back to work 3 days a week, and I was involved in a high-profile project in my workplace. I was a HR professional at that stage and had been doing that for quite some time. I ended up basically having this massive downward spiral in my life. I had this big crisis. I started to really doubt myself in the work that I was doing. I felt like I was failing and that it was a really public failure. All eyes were on this project in the workplace, and I had sort of some interactions in the lead up to the decision that I made that resulted in me sort of feeling really exposed and as though everybody knew I had no idea what I was doing, which is pretty much how I felt at the time. So it was such a challenging time. I wasn't sleeping very well. I was not exercising, which is something that's always been one of my key coping strategies, really. My partner was away at the time, and the manager that had been supporting me because I was leading a small team for one of the first times was actually out of the country for a while. So I ended up just in a really sort of distressed state. I felt like I couldn't do the job. I felt like I basically had to get out of there. And I spoke to my acting manager and said, look, I've got to leave. I can't do this. And that's what I did. So after a few days, I went and saw my doctor, told her what was going on, and she said, I think you need a break from work, and I'm going to put you on some medication for sleeping. And after that, my partner arrived home. He'd been away for that week, and I had to tell him what was going on, and I hadn't wanted to spoil his holiday, so I didn't tell him before that. And he had sensed something was going on, came home a day early, but didn't know how bad things had sort of got for me. I started to feel as though I couldn't fix the situation. I felt like I was going to get the sack from my job. And I'd actually been there at that stage close to 17 years, and I'd always been a good performer, but I'd lost sight of that. I just, all I could see was the crisis that I was in and no way out of that. I was worried that if I lost my job, that we would potentially lose the property that my partner had brought into our relationship. And I felt like I'd be a really bad role model for my little boy. I got to the point where I actually thought they would be better off without me, and they would have access to my life insurance through my super. And over that weekend, I had lots of thoughts like that, and I was just trapped in my mind. I didn't talk to my partner about the thoughts that were going through my head. I didn't really speak to anyone else either. And the only person I reached out to was a psychiatrist I used to be treated by many years before on a totally unrelated matter. And I just sent him an email and said, look, I've got these really crazy thoughts in my head. I'm thinking of ending my life. And the email actually bounced because he'd changed email address in that time. So those things happen. And, you know, this is obviously the way my journey was meant to go. So on the Sunday, after a couple of really sort of sleepless nights, I decided that I was going to end my life. And later that day, I told my partner I was going to get the groceries, and I drove to the Story Bridge in Brisbane, and I was working out, or planned to work out where I would park that night when I came back, and basically sort of planning my suicide attempt. And when I got there, I walked across the bridge a couple of times, and I became really emotional, and I actually just thought to myself, look, you're here, just do it, you're here now. And I walked to the middle of the bridge, and subsequently jumped off the bridge. And last but all of the story is that I realized that I must be meant to be here, or that's what I figured from the fact that I'd survived that experience. I had a lot of physical injuries, and I just sort of turned my mind to, right, what do I do now? How do I move on with my life? How do I make sure this doesn't happen again, really? And so, yeah, been on that journey since.
Was it like a, well, thank you so much, firstly, you know, for sharing that story with us. I really appreciate that. But was it like a tipping point for change from there, or was there something else that happened to think, well, it is worth to, you know, to continue living?
Yeah. So it was actually quite interesting because I spent a week in the mental health unit that I voluntarily admitted myself to after I got out of the hospital where they'd been sorting out my physical injuries. When I was admitted to the mental health unit, one of the nurses told me that if I had completed suicide, that my son would be at 50% greater risk of suicide in his life. And something just clicked for me where I just went, right, that's not an option. I'm not going to put that curse on my beautiful little boy. And so I knew that was off the table. And then I just focused on, right, you know, how do I move forward? And ultimately I decided to leave my employer. Fortunately, I was able or had access to a redundancy because they were restructuring at the time. And I studied the following year and just sort of, I guess, in some ways regrouped, regathered myself and focused on getting myself better. we didn't tell many people in our life, which was sort of quite interesting. But it, my partner's very, very private, and I decided I only wanted my little boy to hear it from me. And so we waited, and I wasn't sure we were ever going to tell people, to be completely honest. But then what happened was I sort of went on with life, and in some ways it was great. Like, you know, to the outsider, it would seem like I was flourishing, life was really good, and it was. But what I realized is that I hadn't actually dealt with what had caused that crisis. And a couple of years later, I was actually at coffee with a group of ladies that I catch up with who are mums through our school. They have a regular Friday coffee catch up. And one of the girls there was talking about these things she'd observed about herself. And I just had this feeling like, oh my gosh, she's like half my age and has twice my insight. And something just clicked for me. And I actually shared with her and another lady that was still left at coffee that I had these really unhelpful thoughts in my head, that I felt like I was boring, that I felt like I had no friends, I thought I wasn't as good as other people, that everybody else was much further along their growth journey than I was. And they just looked at me and said, "What are you talking about? That's not how we see you. You know, we see this person that has a really sort of bright and cheerful energy, you know, somebody that's, you know, doing really well." And it was at that point I just realized that there was a disconnect with what I thought was happening in the world, like my perspective of the world and what other people were seeing. And that was sort of a trigger point for me then making lots of changes in my life and embarking on that journey of basically getting rid of that stuff in my head, or certainly reducing it, and living a more fulfilling life. And there were a whole series of things that came after that. And it's hard to sort of isolate and say it was that one or that one or that one. I think it was, you know, just all of these things needed to happen. But it was me saying, right, I'm going to change. I'm going to change the situation. And then I guess there's two key things that happened. I was not long after that, I was at a Christmas party with a bunch of our friends. Nobody at the party had any idea of that crisis I'd had. And I was talking to one of the girlfriends there, one of the ladies there, and I told her about this feeling, these feelings I was having, these thoughts in my head. And she's like, "What? Like you?" And she shared about this stuff that she had going on. And so it was like we were really sort of relating to each other. We had this sort of parallel experience. And but she was out the other side of it, right? And I was like, "How? What did you do?" And she said, "Well, one day I just went, I'm not going to care what anybody thinks of me anymore. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm a good person and I'm not going to buy into that." And it was just amazing. I basically, it gave me hope, right? I remember talking to my partner that night and saying, "Oh my gosh, I've just had this conversation and I feel like things can be different." And that was so powerful. And then, yeah, I went on and did loads of other sort of things. I heard this amazing woman called Julia Baker speak at my Chamber of Commerce a couple of months later. And she talked about how she'd gone from being a divorced, depressed, overweight, single mother of two to having the highest rating show on Animal Planet. She's called the Snake Boss. The show's called overseas, apparently it's the Snake Sheila. And she talked about this goal setting process that she used, where she basically identified these things she wanted in her life and sort of wrote them down, put a picture next to them, and was manifesting those things into her life. And she had years of success doing it. And I just remember going, wow, I want some of that. And I wanted her to come and speak at a workshop I run for mums going back to work, okay, or thinking about going back to work. And so I put her on my goal list. And later on that year, lo and behold, she came and spoke at this big event that I had for 70 women. And she was totally blown away by the fact that I had actually implemented what she had shared, because she said not many people do. And in fact, she said, oh, one of the only women I know who's done it. She's over in America kicking goals over there, you know. And so it made a really big difference to my life.
Yeah. That's a huge journey you've been on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Massive.
But like, now that you've sort of come to the certain point where you're doing that career coaching and that, what keeps you putting one foot in front of the other? Do you have a big vision now?
Yeah, it grows all the time, and sometimes I have to reel it in a bit because it's too much. But yeah, I guess the one step at a time, like, you know, that was a necessity in the beginning, and then it's just evolved. And, you know, I never expected to be, I didn't think it would look like this. And, you know, I think that's an important thing. You know, sometimes even when we're, you know, trying to manifest or create the life that we want, sometimes it turns out it happens in a different way from what we expect, but basically it is what we wanted. So I've known for quite some time that I love speaking, that when I do it, it lights me up. And as a career coach, I'm often saying to my clients, follow what lights you up. You know, if it makes you feel good, that's a really good sign. You know, try to do more of it, because at the very minimum, it will make you feel good and build capacity for you to be able to explore the other things that, you know, might, you know, evolve into a beautiful career, or it might actually turn out to be your career path. So I was like, well, yeah, I wanted to speak. And then a whole sort of sequence of events happened where I ended up on Australian Story, and that's actually sort of opened up some opportunities around my speaking. And the more I've done, the more I feel this is actually what I'm meant to be doing. I thought I was going to be speaking on careers, and, you know, I'm always keen to do that as well, but it seems like this is actually the path that I am meant for.
Sounds wonderful. The new possibilities you mentioned that have opened up for you, one of them would be while you're on this podcast, is the 1,000 Ripples Effect. How did you get involved with that?
Oh, very randomly. Again, it just sort of came to me. I've done some work with Mind Matters Institute in Brisbane. They are NLP experts, neuro-linguistic programming. So I should actually highlight too that NLP has been really instrumental in me making the changes in my life as well. So that was one of those other key sort of activities that happened on my journey. So yeah, look, they're absolutely great. They're Rex and Catherine and Rhonda, their assistant. And Rhonda told me that Rex and Catherine were contributing to the book, and she thought that, you know, it would be you know, something that would be valuable for me and for people to hear my message. So yeah, just came about in that way. And I've often found with all of this stuff that's evolving, lots of it tends to find me rather than me going looking for it. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm self-employed, and I, you know, I do need to actually, you know, let people know who I am and put some energy into, I guess, marketing myself. But it's been amazing how many doors have opened since I've had, you know, that sense of purpose and clarity around, you know, who I am and, you know, how I'd like to help people.
Yeah, I love it. So what's the most exciting thing about the future that you're looking forward to?
Oh, it's all so exciting. It is. So I've got this online workshop for mums, and I've been delivering an in-person workshop to help mums go back to work for, I think this is the 5th year. It actually came out of a uni assignment that I did. And a little while back, I created an online version of the course. So that one of my priorities is building that community and building awareness of that course, because I know it can help mums. And I know that, you know, having a sort of community where they can be a cheer squad for each other has a lot of potential. There's so many barriers for mums, and you know, I'd love to be part of empowering them. So that's sort of one of my main focus. And ultimately, you know, in the next 12 months, I hope to write a book as well that contains the strategies that have made such a massive difference to my life, because I want everyone to have the opportunity to create the life they want, you know. And I actually, you know, I'd heard about things like, you know, the world is a projection of what's going on inside of you, and you really can, you know, create and manifest, but I didn't really get it until it all started happening, and it's like, oh, wow, this is what, you know, they said was possible. And I discovered that how I felt about myself and how what I believed was possible was sort of the keys to that, really.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's so awesome. I was just thinking, yeah, so it's that clarity of vision or clarity of where you want to go, or even believing in yourself, isn't it? That's when things start really happening.
Totally. That was like a key. Without a doubt, that was a key. And that sort of the work I did, you know, with the NLP practice was basically taking me back to accepting myself. Like, just, I remember doing this little activity. It was like a visualization. Back then I didn't do much visualization, so it was really sort of foreign and uncomfortable for me. But I basically had to go back to when I was a little girl and give her this gift of you're perfect just the way you are. And I really struggled to do it in Rex's office. I just went, oh, look, just let me go home and play with it. It's too hard. I'm really struggling. And so that's what I did. I remember the Friday night, I had a bath, and one of the nights I had a glass of wine. And then I got to the point where I was like, oh, it's still not working. And then I just went, oh my gosh, you're missing the point. There's nothing wrong with you. And then something shifted, and I just went, oh my gosh. And it just changed things so incredibly. And I was like, wow, that it was sort of like so fast and in some ways simple, probably not easy to get to that, you know, everything that happened to get me to that point, but it was simple. And we can all do that. Just accept who we are and love who we are and know that we're good people and we're not perfect, and it's okay not to be perfect.
Yeah, so true. All right, let's have a change in pace and do the speed round.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't have to be too speedy.
Okay, great.
What's your favourite book?
Oh, this was so tough for me because I love reading and I'm about variety. If I have to pick a book, I'm going to say The Five Regrets of the Dying by Bronnie Ware. You know, she's an Australian author and I think there's so many beautiful insights in there for us. And I would also go on and say anything by Brené Brown.
Yes, definitely. Who's a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
I reflected on this morning and I'd probably say Julia Baker. Even though we haven't had a lot of contact, her words and that model of the goal setting dramatically changed my life. And, you know, maybe she was just meant to come into my life at that time with that message, but it really, really helped me.
What daily ritual works best for you?
So meditation has been a bit of a game changer for me too. So I will generally meditate at least in the morning and sometimes twice a day, often twice a day. And I have found that has just helped me to be calmer, that it has created space for good ideas to drop in. And generally speaking, my mind is far less busy than it used to be.
Nice. What's your favourite food?
Anything Thai.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? Delicious.
Do you like the country or the city?
This is the easiest one for me. The city. I'll visit the country, but I love to live in the city.
What's your biggest piece of advice to give to others to help them make change in their life?
Good question. Believe in yourself. Follow what lights you up. One of my favorite sayings, which is career related, is don't ask what the world needs. Ask what brings you alive, because what the world needs is more people who are alive. And that's actually Dr. Seuss.
I love Dr. Seuss. Yeah, best stuff.
Just so much wisdom there, hey.
Yeah, that's a fantastic piece of advice, because that's something that I love too. You know, find what makes your heart sing. That's what will bring you alive, and that's what makes life worth living every single day. Yeah.
Absolutely, and it can just lead to the, you know, sparking of so many great sort of ideas and opportunities, and so exciting.
It sure is. So last question, if you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
Okay, I don't think I would do anything differently because I guess all of that has taken me to where I am now. But having said that, I would probably say, like, you definitely are good enough. Just believe in yourself and, yeah, follow your heart. And another thing I thought of was never feel bad about reading self-help books. I think I used to hide my self-help books because a few people had said, oh, pop psychology. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to grow, and having a thirst for that is a beautiful thing and not something we should ever feel bad about.
No, that's so true, isn't it? Because even if it's only one little tiny thing you get out of that whole book and you
Yeah.
put it into action, it's so
Yeah.
worth it. Yeah.
Totally.
Love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for a valuable time today, Donna, and sharing your story. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you? And we'll end it there.
Yeah, okay, great. Thanks, Leanne. So I've got a couple of websites, careervitality.com.au, and for the mums, careersmartmums.com.au, and that shares all the information about the course I have for mums thinking about going back to work, and the actual online course is located there or linked there as well. And I'm on Facebook for both of those, I guess, components of my business. So
Yeah,
great.
that's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you. It's been great.
Igniters, I so appreciate Donna sharing her journey with us, going from the suicidal thoughts, attempting suicide, to living her dream now. If you want to find out more about Donna, go to her websites careervitality.com.au and careersmartmums.com.au, or find her on Facebook. For ways to live within a balance for stability in a world of chaos, go to my website leanneblaney.com.